This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face-to-face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Weekend with Michael Brown, everybody. Glad to have you with me. Happy Saturday. Hope everyone's having a good weekend. You know, on the week, by the way, let me get the detail of the way. I'm not thinking. I'm way ahead of myself already. If you want to send me a text message, text the word Mike, M-I-K-E, to the number 57739. It's 57739. That's the phone number. So as we go through the program, as we do every weekend, If there are things that you want to comment on, you want to gripe about, you want to compliment, which is never going to happen, but if you want to gripe about something or ask a question or whatever, you just text the word Mike to 57739, Mike to 57739. You can also, if you want to, just email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. And then if you want to follow me on all the social media platforms, we made that real easy for you, too. You simply go to themichaelbrownshow.com. Go to themichaelbrownshow.com, and you click on that URL. You'll see all of the icons for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all of those. You can follow me on social media. And, I think that's it. So I know it's the weekend, and I know that everybody is preparing for the federal holiday on Monday, Juneteenth, that, oh, you're not getting it off? Huh, that's interesting. It's a federal holiday. But anyway, so I know you're getting prepared for Juneteenth, and so everybody's looking forward to this three-day weekend. I know I can do this right now. I know a lot of people out there are going, what? 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 A three-day weekend? Nobody told me that. Nobody told me that. Can I be honest with you? I didn't know it either. No, I was doing stuff for this show, the weekend, and I was thinking, oh, that would be good to use on Monday, too. And I sent some stuff to my producer for the show that I do here in Denver, Colorado. And he was like, dude, we're not working Monday. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Anyway, I also want to thank Premier, and I also want to thank my local station here, KDFD, Freedom 93.7 Real News Real Talk, where I'm at today, as opposed to where I was last weekend, which Damien will tell you, I was out in the middle of nowhere. Looking at cattle. Today I'm looking in a studio. I feel a little more comfortable looking at the studio. I don't know why. So on the weekend we try to be a little more relaxed. And so I want to talk about suicide. I know your brain's going, huh? What? No, there's actually an interesting thing that happened here in Colorado. And then, of course, it immediately goes to Nextdoor. Have you ever been on Nextdoor? Nextdoor is like the gossip corner. It's like the modern, now I know some of you will have no clue what I'm talking about. The old party lines. You know, back in the day, back in ancient history, you would pick up your phone. I can remember this at my parents' house when I was a little bitty kid. They'd pick up the phone, a little bitty kid. They'd pick up the phone to see if anybody else was talking. And if somebody else was talking, they had to wait until they finished talking before they could make a phone call. It was called a party line. There were like, you know, three different families on the same phone line. Can you imagine that? Well, Nextdoor has kind of become like the party line of the modern age. So here's what happened. So on Thursday, I-25, and I like to joke and refer to it as the 25 because that drives Coloradans nuts because it sounds like I'm in California, and I just do it to irritate people. I don't know why. I'm that way. So on the 25 in southern Denver, we had a gentleman that, bless his heart, was suicidal. So he crosses on one of the overpasses and climbs out onto the ledge as if he's going to jump. So that causes, you know, the Colorado State Patrol and the local police departments to just completely shut down I-25, and it just created this humongous traffic jam because of this guy who wanted to commit suicide. Now, we could psychoanalyze that until the cows come home about whether or not he was really wanting to commit suicide or he was screaming for attention. But we'll leave that to the psychologist and the psychiatrist to figure out. So anyway, it shut down I-25 for several hours. And, you know, once you shut down a major thoroughfare like that, you guys know that wherever you live, it takes a long time for that traffic to finally kind of catch up and to clear out. So that was on I-25, which is the north and south interstate highway that goes through Denver. Then yesterday, I'm leaving the studio after my morning program, which, by the way, you can hear on iHeartRadio by simply going to iHeart and checking out for the situation with Michael Brown. Little cross-promotion there. And lo and behold, as I get ready to leave, I don't know why, but I got a traffic alert that said something to the effect, don't go your normal way home. That Interstate 470, which Interstate 470 is kind of our loop that goes around, except it's not completed, that kind of goes around most of the Denver metropolitan area. And I, you know, I thought, well, there's a massive car accident or something, so I'm taking all the surface streets to get home after yesterday's program. And then it hits the local news that guess what? Some guy had walked onto one of the overpasses and had stepped out onto the ledge. And, of course, the Colorado State Patrol and the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and everybody else had shut down Interstate 470 in both directions, creating another massive traffic jam. And I'm thinking, I mean, the first thing I'm thinking, copycat. Can that really, I mean, it can be a coincidence, it truly can, but in the human brain, we try to rationalize everything. We try to make sense of everything. And so I'm thinking, coincidence? It doesn't fit. I mean, those are humongous odds that in a 24-hour period, with, and by the way, the two locations where these two guys were threatening to jump off overpasses was probably within 5 miles of each other, maybe even less. So is that coincidental? Maybe, maybe not. In my brain, I instantly thought, copycat. Someone saw what this first individual was able to do, and so we had another individual who, you know, was having mental health crisis, and they're like, oh, I'm going to go try that. Now, why would I even bring this up on the weekend? Because then it hit next door. And if you've never been to nextdoor.com, I'm not, in fact, I would discourage you from going to it because it's a cesspool. It's an absolute cesspool. Now, there are things on Nextdoor, you know, like where do I find the best landscaper? Where do I find the best plumber? Where do I find, you know, somebody to come and fix my refrigerator? You know, my dryer's gone out. What do I do? It's a lot of that kind of stuff, but it's also a lot of garbage. In my world, I call it bovine feces. If you don't understand what bovine feces is, well, try to think about it. Bovine, which is, you know, cow or a bull, and feces, which is, you know what. So I think it was kind of, you know, it's a lot of bovine feces. So on Nextdoor, 23 hours ago, somebody posted a photograph that they must have taken because they were either stopped in traffic or they were stopped on the off-ramp, and they were able to take a photograph of this guy sitting on the ledge. I'm looking at the photograph right now. He looks like he has on a dark shirt and looks like light-colored, almost white pants. And he's just calmly sitting on the edge where if he did jump from that point, which he did not, but if he had jumped from that point and the state patrol had not stopped traffic, he probably would have been hit by a semi, an 18-wheeler or a car or, you know, God forbid, any of us. So I'm looking at this, and I'm just, I don't know why, because I guess I have this morbid sense of curiosity. Why did people put this picture up, and what are they saying about it? And the caption with the picture is, update, man has been saved and is being treated, according, and the highway has reopened. So this is yesterday. So I thought, okay, you know, so I'm just kind of mindlessly scrolling through, and then, voila, I get to it. And here's what I want to share with you. Because this is now the world that we live in. Someone by the name of Katie posts this about the photograph of the man sitting on the ledge. Message to the original poster, she says. Please consider removing the picture from this post. There is plenty of information out there about the situation for readers to get a sense of what took place. For those of us that drive through the area and saw this, it was very disturbing and evokes many emotions. I don't see the benefit, she writes, in plastering this picture on a social media platform. Out of respect for the individual, his loved ones, and any others that may be triggered or otherwise traumatized by such an event, this picture can do more harm. Thanks for your consideration of respecting others. You know, sometimes, and I know this is a personality flaw, and I apologize, I really don't, but I feel like I need to apologize. I couldn't resist, so I wrote this. I literally wrote, I don't find the picture disturbing. This is the real world, folks. This is what happens. Do I have sympathy and empathy for the family? Of course I do. But if we always think about whether something that we say or do is going to upset someone, then we will never do anything. We need to stop this victimhood mentality. This, referring to the picture, this is an ill man. But this is the real world. If you are offended, that is on you, not the original poster. I thought it was a rational response. Because I sincerely do believe that we've kind of entered this phase where if anybody is offended by anything, which I may be the worst person in the world to be listening to, if you are offended by what someone says, do you know what that offense is? That's on you. You're the one that's offended. Now, the person who says something may say something that is incredibly, you know, it may be bigoted, it may be racist, it may be sexist, it may be homophobic, it may be everything you can imagine, every ick, you know, that you can think of. It truly may be that. But that you're offended is your choice. Being offended is something that's your reaction. That's not the person who says something or the person that posted the photograph. The person that posted the photograph, I sincerely believe, was trying to be informative. Look, here's what was going on. Here's why you couldn't get home yesterday. Here's why the traffic sucked yesterday. That's all they were saying. But Katie got offended. And I was just trying to explain that's on her, not the original poster. But here's what I want you to think. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Somebody else responded to Katie. Because she said, you know, being offended and being triggered by something due to a trauma response because you've seen someone, and I'm going to stop there. Because she uses a word that I find fascinating. It's the weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike to 57739. What's the secret word coming up next? I'll be right back.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Have you with me? Text the word Mike to 57739. Mike to 57739. Glad to have you with me. You can also email me, Michael Brown at iHeartMedia.com. So I'm describing this situation that occurred in Denver, which could have occurred anywhere in the country. But we had two people within the span of 24 hours or less of attempting to jump off bridges, overpasses across interstate highways, causing massive traffic jams, and then causing a little, let's say, a catfight on social media. Next door. Next door, which is just the cesspool of social media. If you think Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all the others are bad, you haven't looked at next door. And I don't know why. I guess maybe I'm just perverted, but I sometimes just can't resist. So I told you that my response to someone who said, take this, because someone posted a picture of the guy sitting on the ledge. He had not jumped. He was just sitting there. And the picture is so grainy that you can't make out a face, you can't make out anything. And someone was offended by that and asked the original poster, the OP, to take down the photograph. And I said, but wait a minute, you're the one that's offended. So if we organize our lives that we never do anything because or we or, we're very careful about everything we do because it might offend somebody, then we're never going to do anything. Because trust me, based on my life, I know that someone's always offended. No matter what you do, you can be as nice as you can be to somebody and they'll be offended about something. So you have to live your own life. Now, I'm not saying that you, listen, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that you should go out and be a bigot or racist or homophobe or anything else, because all of those things are despicable. But you have to live your life. And you have to be confident in what you believe in. You have to be strong in your beliefs and your principles. And if somebody disagrees with you or somebody's offended by you, well, that's their reaction. That's not your reaction. So this woman was offended, and she said this, which I found, it's such the world that we live in now that is based on political correctness and wokeness. Here's what Katie wrote. Because I had said, look, the picture's not disturbing. This is the real world. And I did. I said I have sympathy and empathy for this family, but if we always think about something we say or do is going to upset someone, then we're never going to do anything. And I pointed out, this is an ill man. This is the real world. Now, for those of you that don't know my background, let me just tell you that I'm the former Undersecretary of Homeland Security for President Bush. I served him for almost 6 years, and in that position, I saw a lot of death and destruction. The World Trade Center, Ground Zero. I mean, we hadn't been in office 9 months. And September 11 occurs. Then we have all these disasters. At the time that I was the Undersecretary and Director of FEMA, we had more natural disasters that we had to deal with during those years than at any other president's history. Now, that has since changed, and we should maybe talk about that sometime about why, but that's a different story for a different day. And so I've seen disasters, and I've seen death and destruction all over the world. So maybe I am a little jaded, but I also understand that this is the real world, and I think that people live sometimes in a bubble. So Katie was offended, and she wrote this. Being offended and being triggered by something due to a trauma response, parentheses, because you've seen someone, and here's the word she uses. I would think that she would have written, because you've seen someone dead, but she didn't use that word. She said, because you've seen someone unalive. Oh, so now we're either unalive or we're alive. Huh. I find that fascinating because the President of the United States, at an event that was held in the White House yesterday, refers to someone in the audience who's, I think it was the wife, who had died. And he says this.
And by the way, my sympathies to the family of your CFO, who dropped dead very unexpectedly. My best to her family. It's tough stuff.
Dropped dead? Those are the condolences? You dropped dead? Versus the word unalive? Hey, it's the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike to 57739. Mike to 57739. A quick break. I'll see you in just a short few minutes.
Seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough, but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity and, if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS to save 25% off.
Weekend with Michael Brown. Love to have you guys with me. Happy Saturday, everybody. Hope everyone's having a great weekend. If you want to send me a text message, text the word Mike, M-I-K-E. I have to spell that out for all of you who graduated from public education. M-I-K-E to this number, 57739. You just get your little smartphone out, Or maybe you get your big, you know, you get the phone with the giant numbers on it, and you punch in the number 57739. That's the phone number. And then you, in the body of the text, you put the word Mike, and then you tell me what you want to tell me. You know, like, go shove it, or, you know, whatever it might be. We accept all text messages, good and bad. Either way. So text the word Mike to 57739. Go to the website, themichaelbrownshow.com, and there you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, all of those, and I'd appreciate it if you would do it. So, I'm sometimes troubled, but many of my audience in Denver thinks I'm troubled anyway. Tyranny is tyranny, right? And whether it's imposed in the name of the proletariat, you know, or tyranny in the name of, you know, the planet or something bizarre non-existent, the pretext that is used by those that rule over us to grind their collective boots onto our faces, it doesn't really make any difference whatsoever. Yeah, you know, tyranny's tyranny. You know, white bread's white bread. You know, oatmeal's oatmeal, and, well, Diet Coke's Diet Coke. But in the name of the planet, when it comes to the planet, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm addicted. I'm addicted to Coke. Thought I'd just kind of let that sit there for a minute. No, not that Coke, Diet Coke. I can't believe you would think that. I'm addicted to Diet Coke, and I freely admit it. There it is right there. Hear it? And I went to a local convenience store. I'm not going to give them any national, you know, native advertisement. And I got my giant, extra-large Diet Coke. And with it, if you can hear this, do you love the audio effects today, the sound effects today? That's my plastic straw. But in the name of the planet, single-use plastic drinking straws, cutlery plates, drink stirrers, and expanded polystyrene food and drink containers, and cotton bud sticks. Now, I have to admit, I didn't know what a cotton bud stick was. I think it's like a Q-tip or something. I don't know. They're going to be banned from sale or supply in a major city in Australia. Now, I know there are some cities, Boulder, Colorado, for example. Boulder, Colorado. Probably Austin, Texas, too. Maybe Berkeley. Have I named all of the three most weird places in the United States of America? Berkeley, Austin, and Boulder. There you go. You live in any one of those, you're probably not listening to me. Victoria is home to Melbourne, Australia, the second largest and arguably probably the most progressive city in Australia. But businesses, this is how bizarro it's become. Businesses and individuals are going to be fined anywhere from $54,000 to maybe $10,000, so somewhere between $10,000, maybe $11,000, and $54,000, for selling, supplying, or distributing these forbidden items. Now remember, we're talking about plastic drinking straws, plastic cutlery, plastic plates, drink stirrers, and expanded polystyrene food and drink containers, and those stupid cotton bud sticks, whatever they are. A $54,000 fine. Now, this is draconian even by Australian standards, because the punishment is already in place for selling highly useful. Now, I've been to all 50 states, and I've been to probably every major and every minor city in this country. I'm very fortunate in that regard. But I remember the first time that California imposed the I think it's still 10 cents. They may have to whisper in my ear if it's something different, but I think it's still 10 cents a bag. I was somewhere in Los Angeles, and I had to, it's still, Damien tells me it's still 10 cents. And I got, because I was there for a speaking engagement or something, and I was going to be there for a couple of days, so I forgot to pack some stuff. And I needed like some, you know, nasal cord or something for my stuffed up nose. So I go into a Walgreens, and I've got a basket full of stuff. And I was just like, I kind of reached over with the bag, and she said, "Don't you have your own bag?" "No. I mean, I've got my luggage with me. Is that what you mean?" "No, I don't have a bag." End up paying like 30 cents so I could have my plastic bags. But I was glad I have them, because you want to use. Listen, I don't want to kill the planet, so I reused my plastic bags. I put my dirty clothes in them, and I brought it home. And then I reused them again, because then I use them for poop sacks for my dogs. Yeah. So don't start screaming at me about the planet. No, I use those 10-cent plastic bags from a Walgreens somewhere, or maybe CVS. I think it was CVS in Los Angeles. I use those plastic bags 3 times. Ended up with dog poop in the last time. This is already in Australia. I better check my clock here. Already in Australia. The punishment is already in place for selling the plastic bags. Anywhere from $9,900 to $49,500. Now let's talk about the cost of doing business. You're trying to run a small convenience store, and you get fined because you accidentally sell. Now, I know you're thinking to yourselves right now, well, how do you accidentally sell a plastic bag, Michael? Come on. These people deserve what they get. Are you kidding me? $49,000 for selling a plastic bag, all in the name of what? Saving the planet. But even the most minute, the minutiae aspects of normal life, I think there are people who think it really must be controlled. And the most trivial consequences must be suppressed. So that you can't, you know, sip your iced tea, or like I'm doing it, sipping my Diet Coke. Oh, good. Without doing it in compliance with some sort of ideology. It's like, you know, I'm going to tell you too. But I talk often about how the culture is what drives politics. It's not the other way around. Politics isn't the driver of culture. The culture is the driver of politics. So when I talk about ideology, this thing about what's going on in Australia, about fining people for using plastic drinking straws or cutlery or plates or whatever, it's occurring everywhere. It's occurring here in Colorado. I'm sure it's occurring in your state too. There are little pockets everywhere that they're you know, banning these things. Now look, honestly, I don't care. I don't care if you ban it. But give me something that is useful in its place. If you're going to make it out of, you know, cornstarch or whatever they make it out of so it's biodegradable, at least make it so if I'm going to cut something, if I'm going to use a fork and a knife to cut something, make it so it's actually workable. But the point is, that's all driven by ideology. Ideology that says we're going to save the planet. Well, no, actually, we're not going to save the planet. You know, I have this theory. it's not really a theory, but I have a wild imagination. And I imagine that, you know, 1,000 years from now, or I don't know, 5,000 years from now, maybe 500 years from now, you know, when we're buried by Vesuvius or something, you know, the volcano that erupted out west, I can't think of, Mount St. Helens. If we have a bunch of Mount St. Helens erupt, Capulin Mountain in New Mexico, all these volcanoes erupt, or giant earthquakes, the big one hits California, or the big one hits the Midwest, and suddenly, boom, all of this stuff gets buried. Well, think about that's a great project for archaeologists in the future. They're going to dig up I kind of give it away if I tell you what says it on the cup. If my polar pup ends up, now I'm not going to litter, I'm going to put it in the trash, it will go into the garbage, and it will go to a landfill somewhere. And this cup will survive for, you know, I don't know, 100 years, maybe longer. But let's think about the positive side. The positive side is that we'll have archaeologists, you know, little rugrats that have gone, you know, they've gone to the university, and they've gotten a degree in archaeology, and they're digging around. And they find a styrofoam cup that was once held by Michael Brown. And it says Polar Pop. And they'll suddenly start digging around with their little shovels and their little brushes. And they'll yell to their professor, look what I found, look what I found. And it'll end up in a museum somewhere. The planet, as George Carlin famously said, the planet doesn't care. The planet's just going to swallow us up. Have you ever been to Italy? Have you ever gone through and looked at Vesuvius? Have you ever gone through and looked at that ancient civilization? Mother Nature didn't care. Mother Nature did not care at all and just blew up and just swallowed the city. And now, tourists, we can all go through and we can see all of the remnants of that village. We can see all the remnants of a former civilization. And guess what? The planet's still here and we're still here. So all of this ideology that then drives, the culture then drives people to say, oh, we got to ban these things. We have to ban the plastic straws. We got to. Here's what I find funny about the plastic bags, because it's true. It's true here in Colorado, just as it is in Los Angeles and other places. So rather than ban them, which if you really believe in the ideology that says that the plastic bags are destroying the planet, what would you do? You would ban them outright, like they're doing in Australia. Australia's got their act together. The United States, we're still a bunch of goobers that can't figure this out. Because if I'm paying 10 cents, I'm still getting a plastic bag. I'm just willing to pay the 30 cents that I paid at the CVS to put my stuff in so I could carry it into the hotel room. You see, California and Colorado and a bunch of these other states that think they're saving the planet? Yeah. But if you're willing to pay 10 cents, no. I'm one of these guys that says, look, if you're going to do this, then go whole hog. You know, Rush used to talk about being absurd to point out absurdity. Well, I like to take things to their logical conclusion. And the logical conclusion here is that if the premise is true, and the premise here is that plastic bags and my Diet Coke, which is so good. My Diet Coke, your plastic bags, your plastic cutlery, if it truly is going to destroy Mother Nature and destroy the Earth, then we should ban them outright. Don't tell me that it's okay to just pay extra for it. Why, that's evil capitalism. That's actually giving people a choice. Imagine that, giving somebody a choice. You know, this is also true about the whole thing that we're doing with kids. This whole idea of misgendering somebody. You know, there is, in Fairfax County, Virginia, there's now a case where they are punishing children for failure to use the proper pronouns. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I think about my grandson's old enough, he knows better, but my granddaughter and my four-year-old granddaughter, my teenage granddaughter and my four-year-old granddaughter, they don't gender. No. Pronouns? I mean, how many pronouns do we have to learn? But children who grow up in an environment where they are compelled to lie are going to have a hard time comprehending the principles that this country is built upon. So if we're going to start punishing people for misgendering, oh my gosh, what we're really doing is we're teaching kids that, you never know what the truth is, so just tell a lie. Which is just the opposite of what I learned, which was always tell the truth. Hey, you're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike to 57739. Come on, send me some text messages. Text the word Mike to 57739. You can email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, talking about being fined for, doing the wrong thing, oh, wait till you hear this little sound bite. That's coming up next.
Larry Elder here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free relief factor. You know, we all get a little bit older every day, and we all experience aches and pains. Many people even struggle just to get out of bed in the morning and face the world. If you're one of them, then you could be exactly the person Relief Factor was made to help. Let me tell you about Catherine in Pennsylvania. She had shoulder aches, and I mean the kind that were ruining her life. She decided to give Relief Factor a try because she'd heard so many of us on the radio singing its praises. And guess what? After only a few weeks, her pain was nearly gone. No side effects, just relief. Many of my friends and I take Relief Factor every single day. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried it, and about 70% have gone on to order more. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
You text the word Mike to 57739. You can always email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. And I do appreciate the text messages. You guys are pretty good. You're pretty funny. We get text messages from all over the country, and I think that's fantastic. So we were talking in the last segment about this idea that you can't use plastic straws, and you're going to be fined these outrageous amounts. And it really shows how just dumb we are, because you can buy it. Someone in Washington texts and says, "Hey, Mike, here in Washington, we must request a lid, a straw for your drink. You must request a fork, spoon, knife, and napkins, or you don't get them. And you're charged 8 cents for a bag at a store." Now, think about just how stupid that is. So we're going to save the planet. If George Carlin was still alive, he'd be dead. We're going to save the planet, but you can't use these unless you pay for them. This is the contradictory mindset, I think, of those who are on the left side of the political spectrum, who sometimes don't understand that they make no sense whatsoever. So my friend Benny Johnson sent a person out to a pro-abortion rally. Now, this segment is not about abortion, not at all, so don't either tune in or tune out. It is instead about the contradictions that people, when they're faced with the logic of their ideology, their brains turn to mush. Listen to this.
What's important is bodily autonomy, the same right men have always had. We just want equal rights. The right to govern our own bodies, just like men have always had. It's that simple.
Do you support the right for people to not get the COVID vaccine?
It's irrelevant.
Right? My body, my choice.
You're right. It's not irrelevant.
Yeah, but one saves lives.
You're right. It's not irrelevant. One of them is going to be in a pandemic state. Right, a state of emergency, which we all know laws change during a state of emergency.
Do you agree with the statement or the principle of my body, my choice?
Yes, absolutely. Bodily autonomy is a human right. Healthcare is a human right. Access to healthcare should not be something that is dictated by the Supreme Court.
During the pandemic, did you support people's right to not get the COVID vaccine?
It's a difficult conversation.
Do you support bodily autonomy in other situations? For example, the COVID vaccine mandates.
The vaccine mandates, we've been mandated to get vaccines for years and years and years.
So you do support in that situation people not having control of their bodies?
That's not having not control.
Oh, she's confused. So that's not having control. Aren't the contradictions hilarious?
For years and years and years.
So you do support in that situation people not having control of their bodies?
That's not having not control of your bodies. Like, I don't understand.
You think it is important for people to have medical and health control over their own body?
Yeah, it's good for them. It's good for everybody.
You didn't support the mandates?
I did. I do support the mandates, yeah.
Isn't that mandate that people have to get the vaccine so they don't have control over their own body?
Vaccinations are good for people.
But in that case, you don't have control, right? If there's a mandate?
No, they don't have to get it. They just...
can't go anywhere or do anything, right?
They just can't have a job. You don't have a right to a job.
Everybody should have a right to do what they want with their bodies.
Do you support the people's right to choose not to get the COVID vaccine?
I'm not doing that.
So you support the vaccine mandate? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. You see, when you take things to their logical conclusion, oftentimes you realize that the basic premise of what people are trying to advocate makes no sense whatsoever. I kind of have fun with that. I hope you did too. It is the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike to 57739 or email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. I'll see you on the other side of the news. Be right back.
Every 3 seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough, but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity, and if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, to save 25% off.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former President Trump continues to criticize his former vice president for not agreeing with him on the 2020 election results.
Speaking to religious conservatives at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Conference, Trump said Mike Pence had a chance to be great, but he did not have the courage to act. His remarks came a day after the January 6 House Committee hearing featured testimony from former Trump administration officials and others who said the former president wrongfully pressured Pence to reject the 2020 election results. Trump also slammed the committee's efforts as partisan political fiction. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The former president says Republicans will soon put an end to a controversial race-based agenda in public schools.
Under Republican Congress, we will ban critical race theory once and for all. Under the next Republican president, any institution that seeks to implement these racist theories should be charged with a violation of federal civil rights law.
The former president spoke in Nashville last night to the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Several explosions and gunfire ripped through a Sikh temple in Afghanistan's capital city.
The attack began early this morning with gunfire and multiple explosions heard over a number of hours. The assailants reportedly initially used hand grenades to try and enter the compound of the Gurdwara. Then, according to a Taliban spokesman, guards opened fire, forcing the attackers to detonate a car bomb before it had reached its target. Many Afghan Sikhs had already fled the country long before the Taliban takeover. Since they assumed power, less than 200 remain, according to members of the community.
As BBC's Sikandar Karmani, more from townhall.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and start getting cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back in your first fill-up. That's promo code SALEM. Remember, use promo code SALEM. Salem, for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up.
China's factory output rebounded in May, adding to a recovery from the latest economic slump brought on by COVID-19 curbs. And we get the details on the developing Chinese economy from correspondent Jeremy House.
Government data show industrial production rose 0.7% over a year earlier, recovering from April's 2.9% contraction. Consumer spending edged up compared with April, but was lower than a year ago. Exercising the ruling Communist Party's zero-COVID strategy, authorities in Shanghai and other industrial cities shut down businesses and/or imposed other restrictions starting in late March. That fueled fears global manufacturing and trade might be disrupted. The measures have mostly been eased across China, but economic activity is expected to need weeks to recover. Jeremy House reporting.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Punishing floods have torn through Yellowstone National Park and neighboring communities in Montana over the past week. Governor Greg Gianforte says Montana is back in the tourism business anyway.
There's so much to do in Montana. The vitality of our communities depend on it. And your families need what we have in Montana.
And the governor's remarks, coming courtesy of Montana right now, the state has issued a disaster declaration. Another way to sink your vacation budget, we get the details from correspondent Ron DeRockstra.
Gambling is legal on board cruise ships, and a lot of people who paid a lot of money for the cruise experience also lose a lot of money at gaming tables on the water. Now the fast-growing legal sports betting industry is extending its reach to the middle of the ocean with more than 50 U.S.-based ships, from Carnival Cruise Line, Holland America, and Princess Cruises, phasing in the vice over the next several months. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi,
This is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you guys with me. Still we do. Hope you're having a great weekend. It's, you know, for some people, it's a three-day weekend. And I don't, people are scratching their heads going, what the hell are you talking about? We've now made, or I shouldn't say we, but the federal government has now made Juneteenth a federal holiday. So Monday, the banks will be closed, the post office will be closed. Not that anybody's going to notice, but the post office is going to be closed. And the federal government be closed. So that's a great deal. I mean, that's something we should all cheer about. The federal government will be closed for 24 hours. Now if we just get it closed for 24 days, we might be better off. But, oh, and iHeartMedia. So I will not be on the air on Monday. And I know my audience is very grateful for that. They need a day off from me. Let me introduce myself for those of you just, and I'm doing this because I noticed in the text messages, by the way, you can text the word Mike, M-I-K-E, to 57739. We use a text messaging service here in Denver, and I love it because it enables me to really have a conversation with all of you and for you to tell me, one, just how stupid I am, or for you to point out things that perhaps I missed, which is very rare, by the way, very, very rare. But if I do miss something, then you can text the word Mike to 57739, or if you think I'm full of you-know-what, you can send that text message too, and we have those, that automatically goes into a spam filter. No, I'm just kidding. But text the word Mike to 57739. And while we're, while I've been doing the show now for several weeks, I kind of feel like I need to occasionally remind you just who is this goober that you're listening to. My name is Michael. My name is Michael Brown, and I have a problem. And my problem is I love radio. And my problem is, for whatever reason, iHeartMedia and Premier Networks keep having me on. So, I've got a serious problem, but I'm trying to do everything I can to do something about it. I am the former Undersecretary of Homeland Security for President Bush. I did that for almost 6 years. Yes, I am the famous, or as my wife tells me, infamous, which is more appropriate. I am the infamous, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. That happens to be me. I'm a lawyer by training. I haven't practiced law for, since I left federal service. I haven't practiced law for, since 2005, 2006. And I initially went to D.C. In January of 2001. Because that's when the inauguration was held. I do a local morning drive show here in Denver, Colorado. I'm broadcasting from one of our stations here that carries the weekend, Freedom 93.7, Real News, Real Talk, great station. And let's see, what else do you want to know? I'm 6 foot tall. I weigh about, this morning I was so excited because I'm down to 185 pounds. And I just, blue eyes, black hair, and I'm just a goober. I love life. I love life, and I love politics. I love culture. I love music. I love books. I love traveling. I love my grandkids. I love my wife. I kind of love you guys too, sort of. maybe, some of you, a few, occasionally. That's who I am. So that's who you're listening to. Here's what I want to do for the next couple of segments. So as someone who worked very closely with President Bush, I obviously and was fortunate enough to get to know the White House press secretary, Scott McClellan. And, of course, Scott's kind of gone off and done his own thing now. And Ari Fleischer. Now, you may see Ari Fleischer because he's a frequent commentator. I think he actually may be a Fox News contributor. But Ari Fleischer was President Bush's press secretary, and he's a great individual. Ari is just smart, and he's got a great sense of humor. So one time we were traveling. We had all gotten off Air Force One, and we were traveling, I think, to a speech in Philadelphia is where we were going. And because we had the whole staff with us, I wasn't traveling with the president in the limousine. I was relegated to steerage. Yep, I had to ride with the staff. It was awful. No, I'm just kidding. So Ari and I were talking about something, and my daughter loved Ari Fleischer. Just thought he was, she just loved how, his quick wit, how he was really smart at the White House briefings. She just loved the guy. And so I just said, hey, Ari, would you do me a favor? I'm going to dial my daughter's cell phone, and I want you to, you know, just introduce yourself and say hi. This will make her day. So I dialed my daughter's phone number, handed it to him, and it went to voicemail. But being as quick as he was, he immediately recognized that here's what he's going to do. Instead of just saying, hi, Amy, this is Ari Fleischer. You know, my dad said you're a big fan. I wanted to say, you know what he did? The minute it went to voicemail, he said, you have reached the voicemail of, and then gave my daughter's name, and this is Ari Fleischer answering on her behalf. Please leave a message at the tone, and she'll get back to you as soon as you can. I mean, that's brilliant. Instead of leaving a message, he did that. That shows how quick-witted he is on his feet, and that's why he made a great press secretary. Well, now we have a new press secretary. President Biden has a new press secretary. Karine Jamil, let's see, I want to get the name right. For once, I want to get the name right. And then we'll go from there. Let's see, Biden, I got to spell his name right. Biden White House Press Secretary. I mean, I know you guys know who this is, but I can't think of her full name. Her full name is, who's the White House working today? Oh, yes, Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre. Now, here's why she was hired. She was hired not because of her qualifications. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it's true. She was hired because she fit all of the politics, identity politics boxes. She was hired, and she, you know, I think she's kind of cute. I do. I think she's just an attractive woman. I'm not trying to be misogynist or sexist or anything else. I'm just telling you the truth. I think she is a good-looking woman, all right? But that's not why she was hired. She was hired because she is the first black female lesbian or LGBTQIA++. And then there was something else I forget. But there were a couple of other qualifiers. And she was very proud of that, which I thought was kind of odd. You're proud? Listen, I wanted to just take her and say, listen, you are the spokesperson for the President of the United States of America. That should be enough for you right there. Enough. Nobody cares what your skin color is. Nobody cares what your sexual preference is. Nobody cares that maybe your parents came from Jamaica or wherever. Nobody cares. What we care is that we want you to be a good spokesperson for the White House, for the president. Because you're going to be in front of a lot of smart people, the White House press corps. Now, I know that some people in this audience may think that I've gone off the deep end when I say that the White House press corps is a bunch of smart people. They are. Now, you may not know that from the questions they ask, but I can tell you that there's a friend of mine that maybe I'm prejudiced. John Gizzi is a part of the White House press corps. And John Gizzi is one of these guys that has an encyclopedic knowledge of politics. You can say, you know, I was trying to figure out who won that congressional race in Wisconsin CD number 5 back in 1954. And he can just rattle it off. And when he asks questions of the White House press secretary, they are questions that it causes the White House press secretary, much like in the last segment, where people's brains freeze for a moment. They have to stop and think, oh, this isn't a trick question, but I've got to come up with a trick answer because this is a deadly question. Jonathan Carl, ABC News. Now, we know that he's center-left. We know that he's progressive, but Jonathan Carl is a smart individual. Peter Doocy with Fox News. That kid is smart. So the White House press corps, I know that you may not like them, but set that aside for a moment and recognize that they actually are smart individuals. So to deal with those smart individuals, you have to be a smart White House press secretary. And I'm not sure that this one is. Now, I know that this is radio, so it has to be theater of the mind. So what you won't see, because I want to play for you some sound bites of her answers to questions over the past week. Because remember in the last segment, if you're just tuning in the last segment, somebody was asking people at a pro-abortion rally that if you believe in my body, my choice, do you also believe that people should have been, you know, not required to take the COVID vaccine, that it should have been their choice. Because it's their body, their choice, right? And you could just see their brains just freeze up. Oh, I'm inconsistent. When Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, goes to the podium, she carries with her, as all press secretaries do, this isn't unusual, they carry these big binders. And these binders have the answers to questions that they're anticipating. They're outlined by topic. So if you're going to talk about taxes, you go to T. If you're going to talk about oil and gas, you go to oil. If you're going to talk about climate change, you go to C. If you're going to talk about deficit spending, you go to D. I mean, it's all prepared. But she can't think on her feet. So let me tease one of these before we go to a break. She is asked by Peter Doocy about the president's desire to kill oil and gas. Now, remember, this is what the president told us when he was running for president.
But, kiddo, I want you to just take a look, okay? You don't have to agree. But I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate, okay?
I guarantee, look in my eyes, I guarantee I'm going to end fossil fuels, and I promise you, and he leans into her, like he gets nose to nose, and he announces, I am going to end fossil fuels. So, Karine Jean-Pierre is asked by Peter Doocy, you need more oil and gas. Her answer is hilarious. It's the weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike to 57739. Email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. And when we get back, you get to, well, your brain's going to fall apart. Yes, it's the weekend, so my job is to take your brain and go, I'll be right back.
Every 3 seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough, but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity, and if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS to save 25% off.
Hey, it's the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike to 57739. Mike, M-I-K-E, to 57739. Or email me at michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. So Frank did email me. And I want to read Frank's email real quickly. Because as we go through and all you goobers out there in radio land begin to listen to me, you'll learn that I'm pretty heavy sometimes on sarcasm. Sometimes I have to wipe the microphone off because it's just dripping with sarcasm. That's just my personality. Frank emailed me and said, "Do you not know the Democrats are destroying the economy on purpose? We will not change until we start producing oil and gas full bore." I don't know whether it was last weekend or the weekend before, but I gave an entire lesson on oil and gas. I grew up in oil and gas country. I was an oil and gas lawyer. I represented oil and gas companies. In fact, I represented a company for a while where we did oil and gas drilling, offshore drilling, off the coast of Peru. It was a wonderful experience. I know how oil and gas works. And yes, this is on purpose, which is why, rather than have you listen to all of the ranting and raving that sometimes I do, and the other talk show hosts do, What I want you to hear, though, is the insanity that's coming out of the White House press room. The White House Brady briefing room in the West Wing of the White House is a wonderful place. Now, I know on the TV it looks kind of big, but the White House press briefing room, that Brady briefing room where you see like Dr. Fauci come in and tell us how we're all going to die, or you see what was the actor's name? Matthew McConaughey came in last week and gave this impassioned speech about Uvalde, Texas. That's actually a tiny little room. And all the press corps, the White House press corps, is all crammed in these tiny little cubicles in the very far back, behind a door, behind a wall. It's a little place. But yeah, Frank, I know that. I'm just pointing out that, I also got a text message that says, you know, I said something about the U.S. Postal Service and nobody miss them. Well, again, that was sarcasm. Because I got a text message that, well, wait a minute. What about all the Amazon packages we deliver? Yes, yes. In fact, I rely on it too. But think about the President of the United States telling that little girl that he is determined to destroy fossil fuels. He's going to destroy the fossil fuel industry. So now we have the White House press secretary ask about how do you deconflict the president's message that he's going to end fossil fuels with the fact that you're asking the oil and gas industry to produce more oil. That's like telling, you know, Kellogg's, we're going to kill the cereal industry, but you need to make more Cheerios. Or Post, or who it meant. I probably just mixed up my cereal with the manufacturer. But call somebody that cares. Listen to this. Just listen to this.
To do.
Grow more here in the U.S., though.
Because we don't need to do that. What we need them to do is...
Peter Ducey asked, well, aren't you really asking them to drill for more oil? And her answer is immediately, no, that's not what we want them to do. Well, then, how do you get more oil if you don't drill for it? Oh, you go to the Middle East. You go to Saudi Arabia. You go to the United Arab Emirates. You go to... Really? We're going to do that?
To do.
Grow more here in the U.S., though.
Because we don't need to do that. What we need them to do is, with the oil that's out there, we need them to refine that oil so that the capacity could go up, and then prices would go down, okay. Inherently go down.
Yeah. And so, you know, the president once said that he was going to end fossil fuel. Is that now off the table?
No, we are going to continue to move forward with our clean energy proposal, our climate change proposal.
Do you understand how insane that is? It's a legitimate question. He said he's going to kill the fossil fuel industry. And her answer is about, well, what we need the oil and gas companies to do, we don't need you to drill for more oil. We need you to refine more oil. We have not built a new refinery in this country since, I think, 1977. So where are you going to refine it, even if we had it? This is the insane world that we live in. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in. Text the word Mike to 57739. Hang on, more insanity from the White House briefing room coming up next.
Gorka here, and you know me. I am very cynical about products, especially those that claim to help people suffering from pain. So when I tell you that Relief Factor truly works, I want you to know that I mean it. I suffered from a stiff lower back for almost a decade, one so painful it made it difficult to kneel in church on Sundays. When I finally decided to give Relief Factor a try, I didn't ever imagine that I would find myself free of the pain. But that's what happened. Now I take Relief Factor every day. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
I'd have you listen. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. If you want to send me a text message, you simply text the word Mike to 57739. Come on, you can do it. I got all the confidence in the world that you guys can figure that out. Text messaging, WhatsApp, all of it. That's how we communicate nowadays. That, listening online, streaming, it's amazing. Technology fascinates me. We're talking about Karine Jean-Pierre, who is the new White House press secretary. And bless her heart, I just don't think it's all there. I really don't. You know, Jen Psaki, who, you know, I think I've met Jen Psaki one time in my entire life. This press secretary I've never met, so I really don't know anything about her personally. All I know is how she performs behind the podium in the White House briefing room. And so far, it seems to match, you know how oftentimes, well, not oftentimes, almost all every time, an organization has a certain culture. And that culture is determined by the leadership. So whoever the chairman of the board is, if it's a publicly traded company or even a private company, the culture of that corporation is oftentimes it's bottom up and top down. And the top down really reinforces and kind of infiltrates that bottom up culture so that the leadership of an organization, I'm giving you a lecture here on organizational culture and organizational management, that it permeates the entire organization. So I want you to think about, with all due respect, I want you to think for a moment about President Biden. I don't think, look, even the Democrats are starting to talk about how he's in cognitive decline, but they put it in these terms. This is how you learn to interpret what's really Washington, D.C., what I call Washington speak. Washington speak is you first start whispering. Hey, listen. Of course, Biden does that all the time, too, right? He used to have the microphone and whispers. Well, the whisper campaigns in D.C. are already starting that we really don't want President Biden to run in 2024. Now, let me be honest with you. He cannot, even if he knows, even if Dr. Jill Biden knows that he can't run in 2024, you can't admit that. You certainly can't admit it before the midterm elections in November, because he immediately becomes a lame duck, and it pretty much is an admission of failure. So he's not going to admit, he's not going to announce that he's not going to run. In fact, he may not even do it until, you know, really late into 2023. He'll be kind of like Lyndon Johnson. But to think that he's going to do it now, he's not. But the Democrats are already whispering. And they're whispering because they know, they've watched him. And let me tell you, I'm both angered and sad watching this president. I'm angered because, one, his family does not have the cojones to say, this is too much for you. Let me just say, as a person who worked next to the President of the United States of America for almost 6 years, it is my 6 years in Washington, D.C. were the most demanding. I mean, I think about when I was a baby lawyer, I was appointed to do a murder trial. I've done 3 or 4 murder trials in my entire life. They were horrific. I won one of them, and I won that case because I sincerely believe that that defendant was innocent of murder. He did not kill that victim. And I won the case. The other three cases, I made sure they got a proper defense, and they were convicted. In fact, a couple of those yahoos are probably still in jail. My point being, at some point the family looks around and sees that he's in cognitive decline. And they know that they're just letting him hang out there. Well, wait a minute. If you do that, that's a disservice to the country. When I did those murder cases, I knew that my job was to just make sure that those dirtbags got a fair trial. That, you know, that the state proved their case to the jury beyond a reasonable doubt. And my job was to make sure that it was fair, it was impartial, and I presented as much of a defense as those yahoos had. And the prosecution proved the case beyond a reasonable doubt, and they were found guilty. In this case, I think it's beyond a reasonable doubt that the president is in decline. And I don't mean that harshly. I don't mean that as like, you know, I don't even mean that as a partisan individual. Yes, I'm conservative, libertarian, constitutional, all of that. Yes, that's who I am. But it angers me because our enemies and our allies see the same thing that I do. And they see the weakness. And his family has to see the weakness. If they don't, it's elder abuse. Or if they do, and they let it continue, that's elder abuse too. So his state of mind is such that the staff is running the White House. I don't think he's making decisions on his own. And so that is the culture, I believe, based on my experience, that's the culture of the current White House. And it's not very good. And that's why I'm making fun of Karine Jean-Pierre. Because she's a reflection of the Oval Office. She cannot think on her feet. She has to read to give an answer. Another example. Let's talk about baby formula for a second. Listen to this one.
The end of the 30-day assessment that he had said at the end of May. I mean, can you put a time frame on this now?
So we're at the end of the day, we're at the end of the 30-day assessment of the baby formula shortage. What's the president's new assessment?
Your family's going to be scrambling the entire summer.
I don't have a timeline for you on this, but what I can say is we're doing everything that we can from here to make sure that we get healthy baby formula for American families. We know how hard this is at this time. We know how difficult it is, but we have up production, as I just laid out, working with these different manufacturers. We have brought baby formula overseas. We just had a seventh Operation Fly formula mission just yesterday, so this has been a priority for this president.
In other words, we really haven't done anything. We haven't done anything. We've had another flight. We've imported baby formula from another country, and they haven't upped production. The White House does not up production of baby formula. The baby formula companies do. Abbott Labs, all the other makers, they're the ones that do it. What she should have said was, and I'm not trying to play press secretary, but let's be honest, no, we don't have a timeline. And we have encouraged, you know, all of these companies to ramp up production as much as possible, and this is the most important and, we have asked them what we can do to keep baby formula safe, but yet back off on the regulations so that you can produce baby formula as fast as possible. That would have been a great answer. Another example. Let's see if I got... Yeah, I got time here. We got some more examples here. We now have the Ministry of Truth. Remember the Department of Homeland Security was putting together that board of the disinformation board that was going to make certain that, you know, that DHS will tell us what to believe and what not to believe, what is true and what is not true. I don't need no stinking government to tell me what's true and what's not true. You don't either. You got brains. You got the Google. You got the Bing. You got TV. You got radio. You can figure out what the truth is and what isn't the truth. But now we have Kamala Harris. The Vice President of the United States is going to head up a task force. And she is asked, Karine Jean-Pierre, is asked, no, wait a minute. You're going to have a task force that sounds like the exact same thing that was the disinformation board. How is it different?
The first one on the online policy task force that the vice president's leading, that's getting kicked off today. On a background call last night, we were told that it's going to be different from the disinformation governance board in that it's going to focus on illegal conduct online. But the memo creating it was a little bit broader and mentioned, and I'm quoting from the document, quote, online harassment, abuse, and disinformation campaigns targeting women and LGBTQI+ individuals who are public and political figures. Can you clear up the disinformation charge?
Can you clear up? Because this says that you're going to start targeting information that is spread about, you know, women or, you know, LGBTQ communities or, you know, all these different communities. You're going to start, and Kamala Harris is going to do this? So what's the difference between that old board that you said you weren't going to have anymore and the new task force?
I would need to talk to her team. I was not on the background call, so that specific language that you're providing to me, I would just have to check in with her. I would also encourage you to check as well with her team. I can't say more because I wasn't on the background call.
So the president, and I'm sorry, I just find this hilarious. Because of the way the White House works, you don't appoint, the president does not appoint the vice president to a task force and make the announcement publicly that you're going to have a task force headed by the vice president of the United States of America, and then have the press secretary go out and say,
information campaigns targeting women and LGBTQI plus individuals who are public and political figures. Could you clear up the disinformation charge?
So I would need to talk to her team. I was not on the background call.
Wait a minute. Never admit you weren't on the background call. Never admit that. She could have just said, you know what, I want to get you more accurate information, so I will reach out to the vice president's press secretary and we'll get you more information. Instead, she pretty much admits, yeah, you know what, I was out of the loop. Yeah, I wasn't on the call. They didn't give me the link to the Zoom call. They didn't give me the link to the Microsoft Teams meeting. So I wasn't on the call. Yeah, I'm just sitting up here with no clue what's going on.
That specific language that you're providing to me, I would just have to check in with her. I would also encourage you to check as well with her team.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? I don't really want to check with the vice president's team because, well, that's a nasty group of people over there. Why don't you go call them? Yeah, why don't you go call them? It's just insane what's going on. Let's see. Let's do this one real quickly. She's asked about the Federal Reserve predicting. Now, this is going to be a tough one for her. The Federal Reserve has predicted that we're going to have gross domestic product rates under 2%. Now, a lot of economists will tell you that we're actually in a recession now, and there's not going to be any growth for the next couple of years. So she's asked specifically about the Fed's prediction of 2% GDP growth. Here is your today's lesson in economics.
Yeah, thanks, Green. So the Federal Reserve is predicting that GDP growth for the next 2 years will be 1.7%, under 2% for the next 3 years. So is this what the president considers stable and steady growth?
What I can tell you is that we believe that we are in a transition right now, coming out of a economic recovery, a historic economic recovery, because of the work that the president has done this past year and a half. And so we believe that we'll be in that transition. We're going into that transition of stable and steady growth. And we're going to continue to do the work that the president has laid out to.
Ooh, that scares me. We're going to continue to do the work that the president has laid out. You know, like higher gas prices, higher grocery prices, higher everything. Oh, my gosh. It's so encouraging, isn't it?
Lower inflation. And so part of that is letting the Federal Reserve do their part. They have the strongest monetary policies to really deal with this. We're not going to speak to that. We're going to let them be independent. But the way that we're seeing this is we are on a track to have that transition.
We're on a track to have a transition. So, look, I know it's the weekend. Maybe you get a 3-day weekend, but you're going to go out and maybe you're going to put some gas in the old, you know, in the old vehicle. You're going to maybe go to the grocery store and get some brats to grill or something, or maybe you're going to go to a movie and buy popcorn that's in short supply. Whatever you're going to do this weekend, I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart that it's all okay because we're on track to be in a transition. Yeah. Now, I think it's a railroad track, and I think it's a diesel engine that's going downhill at about, oh, I don't know, it's maybe out of control, and it's coming right for us, right for you. See, I'm just trying to be positive. I'm just trying to help you to understand that when you go out this weekend and you open up your wallet, or you get out your credit card, or if you're still old school and you write a check, or you Venmo, or you PayPal, or whatever you might do, yeah. Don't worry about it. We're on track to a transition. Yes. Isn't it wonderful? Hey, you're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. You text the word Mike to 57739 or email me, Michael Brown at iHeartMedia.com. Man, I can't even talk today. Hang tight. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Every 3 seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough, but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity, and if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS to save 25% off.
It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike to 57739. Mike to 57739. You can always email me, if many of you have done both, to Michael Brown at iHeartMedia.com. We have, well, for me it's breaking news. Maybe you've already heard it. So as the economy just continues to spiral into this recession because of the policies of Joe Biden, I mean, the economy is just falling apart, right? And I don't think it's going to get any better under this presidency. So the President of the United States is in Delaware on vacation. And he went out on a bicycle without training wheels. And the results were ugly. The President of the United States is, it's like the, remember on Laugh-In, the little guy that rode the tricycle and he'd bump into something and stop and then just fall over? Well, I'm literally watching a video of the President of the United States of America on a bike. He has his helmet on. He's got shorts on. You know, when you get old, don't wear shorts. Let me tell you, don't wear shorts. I don't wear shorts. It's scary. And he stops the bike, puts his feet on the ground, and falls over. I think that's just a great metaphor. That is the economy. Here's how the Blaze reports it. Biden, 79, was on his bicycle when he rode toward members of the public around 9:40 a.m. this morning near his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. The video shows Biden slow down as he gets in close proximity to the crowd, but then suddenly falls to the ground. Now, I know it's funny, and I know I'm laughing, and I apologize, because it's really not funny. But it kind of is, too, isn't it? And isn't a great metaphor for kind of the situation the country's in right now? This guy is now seen by, think about this, Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping in China, Maduro down in Venezuela, Kim Jong-un up in North Korea, and in fact, our allies too, Boris Johnson in the United Kingdom, Macron in France, and Garrison, I forget what the guy's name is in Germany. Oh, and Zelensky in Ukraine. Yeah. They're all watching because they're all going to see this. It's going to be all over the news. Biden falls over. And I just think it's a metaphor for the Congress. I mean, not for the Congress, for the economy, for the country. I think a pattern is starting to emerge, too. Back in March of 2021, yes, Biden tripped and fell multiple times while walking up Air Force One. And earlier this month, he did it again. He lost his footing while walking up the stairs to Air Force One again. And now he's fallen over on a bike. When are we just going to... I'm sorry, I'm not laughing. I'm not serious. When are we going to admit that there's something wrong? There's something wrong. And I, you know what? I kind of get angry at his family. Now, I know they... Look, being president, being the family of the president, pretty cool. It's real cool. But at some point, you have to admit that there's a problem. I think we have a serious problem. Hey, it's the weekend with Michael Brown. Let's have some fun when we get back. Text the word Mike to 57739, Mike to 57739. Email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. We're going to take a break for news and all of that stuff, and I'll see you on the other side. Do not go away.
Larry Elder here. I want to talk to you about Tom in Texas, who wrote in about his experience with 100% drug-free Relief Factor. He's in his late 80s now, and he's one of those really active guys you sometimes hear about. Rides a bicycle, works as a flight instructor. Not all that long ago, he thought he might finally have to stop. Lower back and hip pains were after him all the time, it seemed. He'd heard about Relief Factor, but it took some convincing for him to try it. He was skeptical. Lots of people are before they've tried Relief Factor. Thank goodness he did, because Tom's pain is gone now. My friend and I take Relief Factor. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried it, and about 70% of them go on to order more. If you're looking for a way to get out of pain, please give Relief Factor a try and see what it can do. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com, that's ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.